go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knight.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude, a podcast for and about everything nerd and geek related. I am Sean. I'm here with
Sam,
and via the Knight Hotline, we have
nerds and geeks. Wow, we're branching out.
I know, right?
This is an all inclusive zone right here.
We allow everybody,
nerds, geeks. I think that covers everyone.
Yeah. Sure. Anyways,
we're interest neutral.
If you enjoy our episodes, you can always find us on Podbean and Stitcher. And if you want to leave comments or anything, you can find us at facebook.com/knightsofnerditude. And I always forget our Twitter handle. John, what's our Twitter again? You don't remember, do you?
It's KON Podcast.
Oh, okay, KON Podcast. That's Chris's domain, not mine. I'm the Facebook guy.
Now coming at you with 280 characters.
I know, so we can add even more about things that are important. So anyways, we're going to hop right into this. This little movie came out last weekend.
It's really a small picture, kind of took everybody by surprise.
I know, very surprised. It was called, let me see if I get the name right, Thor Ragnarok. Is that correct? I believe so.
Yeah, something like that.
So Thor Ragnarok, we have been looking forward to this movie basically since the first trailer dropped, when it was like, hey, it's going to be Thor versus the Hulk. So we all saw it, and unfortunately Chris is not here with us today.
He's moved on. He is on another plane.
I don't know what state it is, but he's on a work trip. So
Shh, don't tell. I wanted them to think he's dead.
I feel like we would be a little bit sadder, maybe take a week off at least if Chris died.
Week? I don't know. Maybe we do like a half podcast. He doesn't listen to this, right?
We would do the podcast from the meal after the funeral. Yeah.
We would interview everybody coming up to the casket. Anyways, so we were very excited.
Sorry for your loss, but what do you think about the Dark Universe?
Just in honor of him, you two have to stare at me like blankly whenever I make a bad joke.
Yeah, just motions like, oh, God damn it, stop saying puns. All right, so this movie came out on Thursday. We went to go see it Thursday. John, you went. When was that? A couple days ago.
I went last night.
Oh yeah, you went last night. I mean, going into this, we were all excited to see Thor versus the Hulk, I think. Chris and I were very excited to see Cate Blanchett playing Hela, like god of death and the underworld. So
I was excited to see Zachary Levi again.
Yeah. So
for all those 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I always forget he's in the movies.
Yeah. And then the other thing was Benedict Cumberbatch. Sure, however the hell you say his last name. I kind of refuse to learn. I'll just say it however I feel like. Cumberbatch. Him as Doctor Strange again. We found out he was going to be in this movie. Big part, small part, we didn't know. But now we do.
Turns out small.
Turns out very small.
Turns out really no reason for him to be in this movie.
Yeah, kind of pointless.
Don't know why he's there. Just to be like, oh yeah, we should probably start tying all these movies together.
Yeah.
Let's throw Doctor Strange and Thor.
Yeah, it was brought up to me by our friend Richard today. Basically, everybody's got to up their game for the next movie because you've got Doctor Strange, who basically, between the last movie and this one, so literally like a year has gone by in movie world and real world, and the dude's like uber powerful. Like, extremely powerful.
Listen, John, he's a surgeon. He can figure these things out.
I know. But then at the end of this movie, now Thor is legit the god of thunder. Like, the electricity is, like, flowing through him now. And, like, kind of feel bad for, like, Tony Stark and, like, all the other Avengers.
He's got a couple more suits.
Like, or, like, all of them are kind of like, hey, we're kind of the same as we were in the beginning. Like, now these guys are, like, uber powerful and unstoppable. So you got to kind of feel bad for the humans that aren't the Sorcerer Supreme. We were introduced to a few new characters. You had, what's his face? Scourge by Carl Urban Scourge, who was kind of a douchebag when you meet him. And I guess he kind of redeems himself towards the end.
He's kind of just douchey. Yeah. Like, but not like the smug kind of douche. The, like, I know I'm doing wrong, but I'm still going to do it douche.
Yeah. His accent was so weird.
Carl Urban here, playing the part of the person that we needed Kate, what's her name? Kate Blanchett to talk to.
Yeah.
To, you know, provide expository dialogue.
He basically takes over for Idris Elba at the,
Bifrost.
Bifrost, yeah. Where he's like,
isn't it funny how like Idris Elba, who, like, people have talked about him being the next James Bond, is like the seventh, like, most important person in this movie.
Yeah,
and he is important. He is important,
but he, you know,
but he's such a small role.
Yeah,
once again, yeah.
There's no small roles, only small actors.
Anyways, we also...
I'm sure he's well compensated.
We were also introduced to, was it Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie? I guess she's the last of the Valkyries. I thought she did awesome. I really enjoyed her. She became a very likable character toward, you know, in her character arc.
You know,
big year for women warriors from the gods.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and like I was going to mention, you don't get many of those, like, grizzled war vets who don't want to get back into the action who are women.
Yeah.
Don't get many of those.
No, you really don't, but you know what?
Good to see this old, tired stereotype moving on to other genders. Pretty soon, in a couple of years, I'll be tired of them being women.
Maybe.
Okay. So, I don't know. What did you guys think of the movie?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
How did it meet your expectations?
I think it met my expectations, and they were high. This movie definitely met them, and I was laughing and enjoying myself the entire time for this movie. It definitely a change of
tone
from the other Thors. So. Yeah. Like, the other two Thors, you know, Chris Hemsworth played it very serious, in a way. And then this one, it's just like, hey, Chris, just be stupid. And he's like, okay. And he just goes,
do that.
Yeah. And he plays it awesome.
It really kind of met my expectations. Probably mine was a bit lower than yours. I didn't think this movie was, like, fantastic, but, like, it was a good change of pace for the series that just kept cranking out mediocre trash after mediocre trash. And you know, just be like, you know what, these are kind of stupid characters, this is kind of a stupid world, let's just be stupid with this. And it was fun. I had a good time. There were funny jokes and funny moments. It was enjoyable. And then you know, I like the inclusion of Hulk in this.
Yeah,
it didn't feel forced at all. It felt like, okay, this is important.
Yeah.
This is an actual plot point that, you know, they didn't just ham-fist in.
I mean, it kind of was, but it kind of wasn't at the same time. Cause
really?
It was like,
you got that vibe that it was just kind of like crowbarred in?
Well, they were like, how'd you get here? He's like, took the Quinjet. And it's like, okay, but still, how'd you get here?
Yeah, okay.
I followed Ultron. I don't remember Ultron taking off into space.
Yeah.
Maybe that did happen, but I don't remember. And since when could Quinjets go into space? Don't remember that either. So.
Yeah, but like, you know, it that was didn't seem that important.
It's comic book, so it's like, sure, it happened. So like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it didn't feel that important to the overall story.
Mm.
Like, once Hulk was in it, I didn't feel like he was out of place. He right. felt like oh, he yeah. should he, be there, yeah. that this movie would be totally different without him there.
Yeah, yeah. What did you guys think of Jeff Goldblum's character, the Grandmaster?
See, here's the thing. I don't know if I want more of Jeff Goldblum from this, or if more Jeff Goldblum would have just annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah, I think it was just enough Jeff Goldblum, but it made you kind of crave more, but it never gave you more, which yeah, is kind of nice.
Because he was playing kind of an awkward character,
yeah.
and just kind of made you feel awkward, and I feel like maybe they did it just enough, because I feel like, well, maybe if we explored this character more, we could have gotten some more funny jokes, and maybe it would be less awkward. Or it could have just been more of that awkward shit.
Mm. It was, I don't know. I just really enjoyed the Grandmaster. I felt like it was the role Jeff Goldblum needed to play, because they were like, hey, Jeff, just be yourself. And he's like, nah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if this is how Jeff Goldblum finds his way into a big blockbuster, well, I guess he's in Independence Day, so that doesn't really count. But, you know, a Marvel movie or a comic book movie, like, this is pretty much, like, the perfect, like, landing. Like, I don't know if it was ever going to be great or phenomenal, but I thought it was solid. Sam's actually got it right, left you wanting more, which is a good thing, because sometimes, you know, sometimes a character like that can definitely get on your nerves after a while.
Mm.
So, you know, I thought it was used well. I liked there was, you know, some flourishes that were kind of interesting. I mean, I guess this isn't really about the character, but, like, all of his, like, Barty guard goon guys all had, like, different colors. Like, they reminded me a lot of, like, people playing, like, Halo when, like, all the Spartans are all slightly different colors, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Also, their guns looked like guitars, which was, like, kind of a weird touch.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, I mean, what did you guys think of Hela as the bad guy?
As a baddie? You know what? Cate Blanchett did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed her as the baddie. Like, she was kind of just there to be a baddie.
Mm.
Like, if I would have to say, like, she felt more crowbarred in than Hulk.
Yes. Yeah,
and she's part of the Thor, you know, mythos.
Yeah,
but like, I think she did a really good job, and I enjoyed her.
I think she did an awesome job with what she was given, but of the storylines you paid attention to, by far the weakest.
Yeah, nothing much happens there.
Yeah, it's
she
like...
She shows up, she conquers Asgard, she keeps conquering Asgard,
and then...
Then Thor shows up.
Yeah, and then fight.
Big fight.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, and I think maybe this is just, like, what the flaw is with the whole Thor series as a whole, but it's like, you don't really ever understand, like, what's the... I don't want to say scale, but, like, what exactly, like, what is required to, like, beat Hela? Or, like, what is the limitation of Thor's powers, and why does one, you know, at some points, like...
What the hell Asgard is?
More powerful than Thor, and then, you know, Thor is, you know, at the end, you know?
Mm.
Like, where's Asgard in the whole universe, you know?
Right.
What are the seven realms? And seven, right?
Seven known.
I thought nine maybe comes to mind.
Nine realms? Like seven or nine.
Either way.
But, like, what are those? Like, how do they fit into the whole thing? Because, like, this is a different interpretation of the Marvel Universe as the other things. as the other series, like, because Guardians fits in it because they're just like, yeah, they're it's a different part of the galaxy. This one, it's like, so they're gods on this weird, like, godly planet thing.
Yeah,
is it a planet?
But the water's falling off of it into space, but where's the water come from?
Like, and there's like seven realms. And like, is Midgard our universe or is that just Earth?
Is that literally just Earth? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they don't really explain like
which I'm kind of okay with that. That kind of makes things, I guess, mystical-ish.
Here's the thing. I don't get the vibe that this is one of those things where it's like we purposely left this vague just to kind of keep its mystique and its like mystery about this world. It feels to me just like nobody ever really got around to explaining it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like this was done on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so we kind of...
Did you laugh at the jokes?
Oh, yes. Many jokes.
What jokes?
Should we start going... Oh, gosh.
You guys laughed?
Should we go spoilers heavy right now?
It's not many spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been kind of glazing over everything, really.
So, the big one, Matt Damon's in this movie.
Yes, he is. And Sam Neill, and was it Luke Hemsworth?
Yeah, we got the Hemsworth.
Yes.
That was such a great
scene.
That happened
early in the movie, and it was at that point I was like, okay, movie, you won me over.
I love when he's like, father, and then just like... Anthony Hopkins is like, oh shit. Like, that's his exact line was, oh shit.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked, but outside of that, I had no idea what Anthony Hopkins was doing in this movie. Not like literally, but like,
John,
it's just like him, just like in a field in like Norway by the sea, in a suit. Like, I don't know.
John, Did you see the previous two, John?
I didn't see Dark World.
Alright.
Okay, so pretty much, well, the thing is that, like, that's how I've always felt about Anthony Hopkins in this whole series. It's just like, why are you here?
He's like, Odin.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I get it, we need Odin, but, like, Did someone just hand you a paycheck when you just showed up? Because, like, you just kind of are just here.
Yeah, this whole series is not really... I mean, outside of the first one, the series as a whole really has not used Anthony Hopkins to his
or
full
Odin,
potential.
Like...
Well, like, the first one deals with Odin quite a lot.
Kinda?
Well, a lot more.
I mean,
than
he's sleeping the whole time.
Yeah, he does go into Odin sleep. I did forget about that.
Did he go into Odin sleep again?
Fine for the first
one. Yeah, he was fine in the first one. The second one, they really didn't touch upon Odin too much. But then at the end of the second one, Odin is somewhere, you don't know where, but Loki has taken over the throne, and that's where this one picks up.
Odin dies. We should.
Yeah, so that's a big spoiler.
So that,
Odin
but
dies.
Like, that felt like they could not get to that point quick enough.
I know what you mean.
Like, they rushed all the way to the point where he fades into, like, fireflies or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And,
fireflies.
Like, he reaches his final form or something.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just like...
He becomes Asgard.
like, I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, this has been 5 minutes into this movie, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really quick.
I feel absolutely nothing about this.
I mean,
just like,
there was the opening scene with, was it Surtur, where he defeats Surtur and his army, the big molten guy, fire guy.
Oh, yeah. He's spinning on the chain.
That was funny. Like, when he's, like, spinning, that's when I was like, okay, this is the tone we're going with. I'm okay with
or
this.
Or just even that very first scene when he's talking to the skeleton.
Yeah.
Explaining how he got here. It's just like, okay, this is good.
Yeah. Before they find Odin, they meet Doctor Strange.
It's a comical scene where he's just teleporting around the room.
It's funny. It's... The other thing is, it's a continuation off of the scene at the end of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Because that scene happens in Doctor Strange, which is kind of disappointing. What?
Because I don't remember that. So how does that work into the Doctor Strange movie?
So at the end of Doctor Strange, at the end of the credits, it's Doctor Strange sitting down. He's like talking to someone, to Thor, and he's like, "How about some tea?" He goes, "Oh, I don't drink tea." And he goes, and then appears with a mug full of beer, and that's pretty much the end of Doctor Strange, the post credit scene. So and that's basically like a third of the whole Doctor Strange scene in this movie is that part right there. It was entertaining to see it happen, but it was such a pointless scene in that movie.
It's like you could have been replaced by like they show up at that old people's home and there's like, "Look, a letter."
Right.
And like you serve the exact same purpose as what Doctor Strange did in this
or like they show up to the like show up to that
short
building.
Movie either. You know, I think it's cool in one respect because you know, when you have just random ass people show up in the movie, it is kind of cool. Like it gives you a sense of the universe as a whole. And like
Tie everything together.
It's not something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, did I come in and out here?
Yeah. You've been popping in and out a bit.
Oh, sorry.
But it was, I mean, like you said, it like could have been like a letter or something, or be like they show up to that old folks home that's being torn down. They're like, "Where's father?" It'd be like, "Oh, you mean like some random worker? Oh, that crazy guy or who keeps rambling on about
look,
gods
there's
and things?
An Odin trail."
Yes. Follow the Odin trail. I did like how I'm probably gonna butcher it, but Mjolnir, the hammer meow meow. That is the only line I missed from this movie. How it's an umbrella.
Yeah.
And like when he's in Doctor Strange's house, he just holds up his hand, he's like, "Sorry. Sorry. Sorry." Like it was little jokes like that. Where it was just
The comedy worked.
Yeah,
it really did.
There was no the comedy was not forced in this.
Going on the comedy, I read somewhere that like 80% of the dialogue they estimate was like improvised.
Yeah,
which you can tell. I mean, you can tell.
Oh yeah.
I think it's like a lot of stuff with improv. I mean, does it work 100% of the time? No. Like, there's some weird beats and some jokes that are kind of funny, but don't exactly work and don't exactly, like, move things along. Like, I wouldn't describe this movie as crisp at all, you know?
Not really.
You get a little sidetracked sometimes. I mean, it's funny when it kind of just goes out there and walks along. Like, a lot of it, like, I think the best character or the funniest character to me is the rock alien
Korg.
Actually voiced by the director.
Yes, Korg is hilarious. Like the soft spoken like rock monster thing and his little sidekick, the bug with knives his hands. Like oh man.
And it's like you just know who those guys are. Yeah. Like like we're sort of like speaking a language here where it's like, oh, I of course I know like what this dude's deal is, you know, like I how could you not, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the Grandmaster, you know, like, I mean, they had the whole, and I love the whole Willy Wonka scene.
Oh, I know. That was great.
That was actually a really nice touch. But like, I mean, even if they didn't have that, like, you know what his deal is, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh man. I was just thinking of the Willy Wonka scene. How he's like, aah! And he's just sitting in the chair, and everybody's just staring at him, screaming.
So here's a question:
yeah.
Did we want more of the Grand Championship? Because we didn't get like, we got barely anything out of that.
Yes and no. If you notice, so they were building the Hulk on the tower,
mm-hmm.
But there were three other heads on that tower.
Yeah. I'm assuming those are former Grand Champions.
Right, which kind of makes you think, who were they? Like,
oh, they are people in the Marvel Universe.
That I didn't dwell too much into. Who are they?
I couldn't tell you. It's very specific, even for me.
I might have to look that up.
It's on IMDb trivia, because of course it is.
Is it under the spoilers?
Maybe. I don't know. Was it weird that there were three people from Westworld randomly in this movie?
Yes. Was it Luke Hemsworth? Anthony Hopkins. Who's the third?
Tessa Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Doing so much of a better job than like the character she plays on Westworld.
Who is she on Westworld?
She's the person from like headquarters that shows up.
Oh my god, that's her. Holy crap.
Huh.
I totally forgot about that.
Small world.
She's a good actress though.
Yeah. So there was a scene, and I have to bring it up, with Hela when she goes into Odin's anyway, sorry, Rihanna.
Somewhere Chris is crying.
Yeah. So she goes into Odin's vault, and she's going through all, like, she's looking for the good stuff that she knows is there. And she looks at a bunch of them. First thing, she sees the Infinity Gauntlet.
And she says, fake.
Fake.
So Thanos has that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see Thanos grab it, but she legit knows Thanos has it. Yeah. Or somebody else has it. So why have that in there if it's a fake?
Because
that's weird. That, like,
because Odin doesn't want to admit that he doesn't have it, maybe.
Maybe. But then she looks
at... maybe Odin did not know that's a fake.
But she looks at the Tesseract for a moment, too.
Yeah, she goes, like, that's impressive.
She's like,
Or that impresses. Yeah. Or something like that.
And is it me, or were there two Tesseracts?
No, the other thing was the Frost Giant thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the thing from the Frost Giant, but the...
But it literally looks the same.
Yeah,
right?
it glows blue.
Yeah.
They both
that's
glow blue.
That's a very odd choice.
Yeah, we need different glowing things. Put that on the list of things we need to get to. Different colors for glowy things.
Yeah.
Did anything about this movie not particularly work for you guys? I don't think, to me, anything stood out as bad. Like, I mean, there's a lot of just kind of very competent parts. Like, you know, we were talking about Kate Blanchett earlier. Like, I think she checked all the boxes she needed to. It wasn't, like, compelling, but was fine.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, stuff maybe that I would have wanted to see. Like, I feel like, you know, the stuff with Asgard, like, I felt like it was a long movie that seemed like it had, like, a lot of stuff that was pretty full, you know? Like I could have lived without, like, the third act coming back to Asgard and that even really being part of the movie. Like, I would have been fine with, like, Gladiator Thor for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, I felt like the Gladiator Thor was skimmed over a little too much. I think the fight between Thor and the Hulk was... It lived up, I think, to expectations.
Yeah.
Like, that was an impressive fight. Like, it was thorough, because you don't know who to root for. You're like, yeah, it's a Thor movie, so he's the, you know, the hero. But at the same time, this is the Incredible Hulk. Nothing can stop him.
Listen, I like Mark Ruffalo, so, you know.
Yeah. So, like, it was very tough to choose between the two, and they're fighting against each other. Thor knowing this is his friend, and then vice versa. Well, not vice versa, but the Hulk recognizes him, but wants to fight him.
Plus, it had one of the funniest lines in the movie when he's just like, "Hey, buddy, sun's going down."
Yeah, he does the Black Widow thing, trying to calm him down. And he tries it multiple times in the movie. Yeah. That's the best. Even when he's Bruce Banner, and he's like, "Yeah, hey, the sun's going down." He's like, "What are you talking about?"
Uh, But as for things that didn't work, I'm struggling to think of anything that I was just like, ugh. Can we just move beyond this?
I think Hela was the weakest part of this movie.
Yeah, and
Hela slash Asgard. Like, what was going on Asgard?
Yeah. I
could care less
about. All the stuff with Idris Elba, too. Like, it's like, It didn't, like, fit it. I mean, like, you know, we talked about, again, like, Doctor Strange was just thrown in here. Yeah. Like, there's really no need for it. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I mean, like, and maybe, too, like, this is literally every movie these days. Like, I think this is just, like, in the book, like, if you have a big action movie, you have to have this happen. But, like, do we always need to have the, like, one-on-one fight, and then on the other end, like, the people trying to get away from danger, or, like, the macro and the micro at the same time, you know? Like, it's just, like, we've seen this 100 times.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a staple, you know? It's one of those things where it's like, if it's just like the baddie and the goodie fighting, that may not create enough tension for the scene.
Right.
You know, if you had like.
No, for sure. I mean, it's
if
not,
you had like a little kid like, who's about to be crushed, you know, that creates a little bit more tension and drama. But yeah, I'm struggling to find anything that like stood out to me where that I did not enjoy.
There's a little story that I have to tell. I heard about it. So there's the opening fight and the end fight are both played to the same song, which is the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, which is basically you listen to it and you're like, oh my God, this is Thor, because it's basically, you know, Norse mythology ish kind of. Yeah, that song. So the guy who wrote the music for Thor Ragnarok, apparently he's one of the band members of the band Devo.
Okay.
And so he wrote all the music, and they had the two fights at the end. And then
neither one of them was fought with Whip It.
Whip It Good now. So you had the opening and the end credit, and they really were struggling to find a song to fit in with that. And some random person came into the studio with him and all the other people working on the music, and they played the Immigrant Song. And they were all like, whoa, this is like the perfect song. Who is this? Because they were all like 20-year-old kids that really didn't know. And they were like, this is Led Zeppelin. Like, how do you not know that? So apparently everybody in the room, except for the person who brought the Immigrant Song in and the guy from Devo who wrote all the music, no one else knew who Led Zeppelin was.
Mm.
That's crazy.
That was your problem with the movie?
No, I'm just saying.
That's a bit of a reach, Sean.
That was my little story that I heard about this movie. But that song, I don't know about you guys, that song was awesome.
Yeah,
both times. When they played it the second time, I was like, oh, they're playing it a second time. Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's go. I'm okay with this.
I'll forgive you for just like rehashing this and not really being like creative or something.
Yeah, but it's a good song. So yeah. I mean,
it's a good song.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good use of Zeppelin. But it's even the rest of the soundtrack, the one that's actually the score.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good too.
Yeah, it was, I once again thoroughly enjoyed this movie. All in all.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, my expectations going in was this was probably going to be like pretty good, maybe great. And while it's definitely not a great movie. But I would say this is, like, these days at least, about the top of the line that you could really expect with, like, most blockbusters.
Mm.
And, you know, I think it's, I don't know if it's, well, it's definitely not a clear-cut, like, best Marvel movie. But right. I think it's in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. It's still fresh with us. So.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Here, well, there's two post-credit scenes. There's the mid-credit scene And then there's the post-credit scene. Post-credit scene is the Grandmaster, where he's like, hey, I want to thank you guys. You guys
so
did a
good,
great
good
job.
Uprising or revolution.
Revolution, yeah. And, you know,
I think feel like we all did our part. I play, you know, I did a good job. You know, you need somebody to overthrow.
Yeah.
So let's call it a tie.
Yeah. That was such a great scene. So I said that because it's such a pointless scene. It's a throwaway scene.
It's pointless, but it's more Jeff Goldblum. And honestly, I think that may be the funniest Jeff Goldblum in the movie.
Yeah, it's up there. But the other end, or the mid-credit scene, is them, all the Asgardians on that spaceship floating through space, just like, what's the plan? And they're like, to Earth. And then
Loki makes that joke, like, you really think they're going to trust me?
Yeah. And then Sanctuary 2 appears. For all those who
now know, what is that?
Sanctuary 2, that is Thanos' ship.
What happened to Sanctuary 1?
The Sanctuary 1 is where Thanos' rocket ship is, his rocket chair is.
Yeah.
That's Sanctuary 1. Sanctuary 2 is his giant ship that appears there at the end. So that's literally a lead right into Infinity Wars, which, I mean, so many questions there, because obviously you can't start the movie right there, Infinity Wars.
Maybe you can.
But either way, the beginning of Infinity Wars, Thanos has the Asgardians and the Hulk.
Yeah.
So, good way to tie everything together.
And the rock guy.
Yeah, and Korg.
Yeah, he's got him too.
And the insect guy.
Yeah. He's got everybody.
Yeah, he's not dead.
No, yes. Hey guys, he's not dead.
Oh, he's been dead the whole time. I accidentally stepped on him.
Oh man.
Oh, no. it was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
I guess so unless you guys get anything else, I guess one last thing for Thor.
Okay.
What would you guys say you would like to see other Marvel movies do in the future that this one did? And I'm just going to come out and say it. I think what they should try to do going forward is maybe have an origin story for if the character is familiar, right?
If the character is unfamiliar, then outside, that. Okay.
Yeah, like if you don't know who it is, like Spider-Man to me didn't need, and I guess he didn't really have an origin story in Spider-Man Homecoming, but right. If you know who the guy is, like if they made a War Machine movie, I don't need a War Machine movie, like origin story right now. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you're not going to do that, just do mashups and just like make it crazy, you know?
Yeah, I think we might be in that territory now where it's just like, we're just going to have mashup movies because, yeah, this was a mashup. You had a Thor, Iron Man, randomly Doctor Strange.
Mm.
You had Civil War, which was just a huge mashup. Guardians wasn't much of a mashup, and that one wasn't that good.
You guys didn't like it. I still enjoyed it.
It was okay.
Guardians 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. I thought this movie weird. You know, like, I saw a review that, like, this is the best, that Thor Ragnarok's the best Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely,
this had more of a Guardians feel than Guardians 2.
Without a doubt. I completely agree with that. Actually, that this was better than Guardians 2. Both of which were very entertaining. Do we want to wait for Chris to do our number reviews for this?
No.
Or do we want to do it right now?
I don't think we're going to prejudice Chris's ranking.
Okay. So, Sam, what do you give this?
Hang on. Let me just check my what I've given other movies.
Along this caliber?
Yeah.
You gave Guardians of the Galaxy 2 a 7, but you also gave Spider-Man Homecoming an 8.5.
Let's see.
Don't dwell on this too long.
I know. Alright. Now, ladies. I'd give it an 8.
An 8? Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
A solid 8.
Actually, 8. You know what? 8.
Okay, so
I was just looking. I gave Baby Driver 7.9, but you know what? I actually enjoyed this more than Baby Driver.
Blade Runner's a 9. Just throwing that out there for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's, okay, that's fine. Right,
just making sure. John, what do you give this movie?
I just don't throw away.
I feel like as soon as I give this score out, you're gonna tell me like other scores. I'm gonna feel like an asshole. But
do you want me? Do you want me to give?
I think 8 is.
You want me to give your other scores, or are you just going?
I'll just do it.
Okay.
8.
Going 8 as well?
Ooh.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, 8.5. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Really, John? You think it's better than King Arthur? I mean...
I put it on the same level as Okja. That movie on Netflix for me, and... above Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and just a tick higher than Spider-Man Homecoming.
Hmm.
So, not a 9 where Logan is. That's still my favorite so far of the year, I think. I'm assuming we're all done. We're good talking about Thor?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so really quickly, Sam and I... who we've probably seen every single Godzilla movie ever.
Most.
You've probably seen them all at some point. Yeah, I know probably. I've seen them all. I own them all. We watched Shin Godzilla or Godzilla Resurgence, which it was briefly named in the States.
Yeah, Resurgence, and then they're just like, fuck it, it's Shin Godzilla.
Shin Godzilla just sounds so much better. So
like, it just sounds like it, this time Godzilla's just all shit.
It's just a shin, but it's Godzilla's shin.
Yeah.
So this movie came out last year.
Yeah.
Had a very around this time last year.
Yeah.
It
was a bit earlier. Early in year.
Yeah, I think
it was late summer.
Yeah,
something like that. September.
I think it was
August.
September that it came out, but very briefly came out in select cities and stuff. To a huge crowd that really enjoyed this movie. This is one of the highest critically rated Godzilla movies of the 27 that have been made. So it came out, I think in August, it came out on DVD. I had no idea. Chris actually reminded me, so I got it immediately. We sat down this past weekend. We watched it. Sam, what did you think?
So, remember when this series was about a giant lizard that punching like aliens, like other giant aliens, and like when you just have like random subplots of like monkey aliens or aliens. Totally ripped off from The Matrix. And
so about 98% of all the Godzilla movies?
Yeah, you know, you remember all that?
Yeah, I do.
Like, what made them look at that and go, nah, that's not good. We're just going to have a movie that's really a ham-fisted commentary on red tape. Like, governmental red tape.
Mm.
And make that movie.
Yeah. Because
that's going to be fun.
So this is, for those who also don't know, this is Toho's first true hard remake of the original. Reboot of the original.
Yeah, it's not they're completely cutting out the 54 movie.
Yeah, so all the other times they've ever rebooted Godzilla, they've always referenced back to the 1954 Gojira movie, which this one... first one that definitely does not. So in the 54 one, it's due to nuclear war.
Yep.
The bombs that the U.S. dropped on Japan kind of caused Godzilla.
This one, Godzilla gets made by nuclear waste.
Right, so basically pollution.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure Godzilla already fought that.
Yeah.
It was Godzilla versus the smog monster.
Although that's not canon anymore, John.
No. Well, not for this. What did you think of Godzilla's design?
Godzilla, okay, the first time we saw him...
You have a giant googly eyes.
Giant googly eyes. He's just rubbing his stomach on the ground and stuff. Like, I was just like, oh, please let this not be Godzilla.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then it turned out to be Godzilla. He changes.
He
changes his look.
So
he
Japan,
gains eyelids.
Japan was like, hey... Pokemon Go is so popular, let's turn Godzilla into a Pokemon and let him evolve.
Like, not just a Pokemon. Let's take a Pokemon, torture it a bit, maybe dip it into some acid, and then leave it alive to suffer. Like, what the hell was this thing?
It was like, it had the goofy eyes.
The goofy eyes.
You had this the spikes along the spine, at the normal tail, sort of, and then two normal back legs, but it had like
no arms,
super flimsy front arms that couldn't be used, and it just kind of like trudged through the city at first and then disappeared into the water.
Like that whole part of the movie where you have it first showing up and it's destroying the city, that juxtapositionally with the like what the Prime Minister was doing and stuff, that like ruined that whole scene where you're like, Godzilla's destroying the city. So on Form A of Act B does not allow us to something, I'm just sitting there trying to stay awake. And then like cut to a scene of like Godzilla pushing a whole bunch of boats down a canal and you're just like, is this the same movie?
So this movie, incredibly wordy.
Oh yeah.
For
a dubbed movie, strange.
No, they talk a lot in this movie, and basically board meetings, and they let us know who was who.
Oh God, yeah.
So like 5 minutes left in the movie, and they were like, "By the way, this is this person."
I completely forgot about all the titles and stuff. They wouldn't just explain to us or like who people are, or just let us figure it out. Like I think I can figure out who the Prime Minister is. He's the guy who's in charge. You don't have to keep reminding me of that.
You know, the guy that people say, minutes. But Prime Minister.
Yeah. like they would show these titles and stuff.
It was like Boardroom A, Floor 4.
Why do I need to know the floor? Like, what does the floor help me?
I don't know.
Maybe if I'm Japanese, I understand the significance of why the floor matters.
So what was your thought on Godzilla's final form?
His final form?
Was it
last evolution?
Evolution number four. His fourth evolution is where he left off.
Yes.
I believe that's what, because they were like, it's his fourth evolution. I believe that's an exact line from that movie. John, this must sound really weird to you.
It's a Godzilla
movie. Sure.
It's a Godzilla movie. They're all weird.
Yeah.
Weird in a very special way.
In his final form that we see, first of all, the atomic breath doesn't come out of his mouth.
Yeah, it comes out of his back.
His back, too. His, and like he
and his mouth.
A light show.
But yeah, it turns into a Daft Punk concert.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Are you making this shit up?
No. No. He turns into a Daft Punk concert.
I wish we weren't. But like his jaw separates
in
half.
I've got one thing to contribute here.
Which is?
Godzilla miniseries with Willem Dafoe starring. Are you in or out?
I'm in.
Okay. Yeah, I might be in.
I'm in. This is Godzilla. I'm in. I will give every Godzilla a chance.
Wait, is William Dafoe Godzilla?
He voices Godzilla.
Don't give it away.
So, like, how Godzilla's, like, jaw separated, so it became, like, I was weird.
I know. I felt like they changed too much too fast on me.
Yes.
Like, that, I was just like, it's just...
He looked scary, which is what they were going for.
Yeah.
They were going for a more menacing... I didn't need the back to become a Daft Punk show. I didn't need that.
I understand they went for scary, but the first time I see him, to be that goofy-ass monster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that ruined all the fear for me.
And, like, the snake neck where, like, I have no muscles in my neck. Just going down Main Street in Tokyo.
I'm the goofy monster. I'm here to kill all you.
So they end up defeating Godzilla by freezing him, which was
Yeah.
Did I miss the scene? Because I was in and out at certain points. Did I miss the scene where they created something to freeze him? Like,
yeah, like half the plot is that. Yeah. Like, the way they kill it is, in standard giant monster style, they have two options. They have the science-y option of creating this, like, catalyst that will freeze his blood.
Yeah.
Or they nuke it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, always makes sense.
It always works, Sam. Every time.
By the way, a lot of America in this movie. Like, we show up in this and we're like, woo, let's go nuke Japan again.
And go figure, the American is Japanese.
Yeah, that was an odd move. Like, and her name was like Peterson.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully, they like, she points out the fact she is Japanese.
Yeah, she's like half Japanese or whatever. Like, her grandmother or whatever was from Japan, something like that.
But, yeah.
Like, they bring it up. But, yeah, they freeze it. That whole scene was entertaining where they're like, release the trucks, and the trucks go out and just start squirting stuff into his mouth.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, he broke free. There's about 1,000 people dead right there.
Like, let's
send in trucks number two.
Let's use the entire, like, Japanese metro system as bombs against it. Like, okay, why wasn't this the whole movie? This is a Godzilla movie, not that bureaucratic crap. Yeah,
so then it ends where Godzilla's frozen.
Yeah.
And it kind of zooms in on its tail.
And there's like,
humanoid Godzilla things protruding from it.
Yeah.
And then it fades to black.
Yeah, it's like it's a dandelion now.
The belief is this is its fifth evolution that it's going to be going into.
There won't be another Godzilla movie. Come
no,
on.
No. This was a one and done. This
next
franchise.
Next one's Godzilla.
We sit here and we criticize this movie this much. I sit here and I know for a fact there are two types of Godzilla fans. There's Godzilla fans who watch the original and acknowledge the fact that it's a great piece of film.
It is.
It's a great movie, and that's basically the highlight of the series and the only one you really need to watch. There are plenty of people out there that really look at the first one and say this is the best, none of them ever. And then you have us, who really want the stupid guys fighting each other in rubber costumes.
Like, here's the thing. If I had to sell Godzilla to somebody, just an average person on the street, I would totally tell them, just watch the first one.
Because
the average person on the street is not going to enjoy Godzilla the way I enjoy it.
Right.
Which is...
Guys, why don't we make a Godzilla movie?
I'm up for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get sued by Toho. Let's do this.
Yeah.
But
they got nothing.
Well, it's not Godzilla. It's, you know, something.
Godzuki. Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a thing. Yes, those children from the 70s. Godzuki's a thing. Yeah, so, like, we've grown up on this stupid horror movie or monster movies and just guy in rubber suit fighting another guy in a rubber suit.
Like here's the thing. Like, I get what you're trying to say is, like, the people who stick to the original 1954 are going to enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either.
This still isn't a good movie.
No, I was not entertained by this movie at all.
Like, it's not just entertained. Like, if you're like, you know, I want it to be, like, a piece of art. This is not that.
Yeah, well, so... I'm disappointed because I know the next Godzilla that comes out is going to be a direct sequel to this one because it was such a huge success. Why not? But my big thing as a Godzilla fan and you, we've had two basically reboots of the franchise back to back with Gareth Edwards' Godzilla, American Godzilla, and then this one. The best way I can compare these two. Remember when in the American Godzilla, the one that just came out, when Godzilla uses his atomic breath the first time? Yeah. Remember that feeling?
That was awesome.
Did you have that same feeling when he did it in this in Shin Godzilla?
No, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, seriously, like, why is his mouth separating? What's going on? Why is the thing shooting out of his back? Why is he, like, this makes no sense.
Why do I hear Pharrell Williams?
We're up on that death move. Yeah, so if you really like guys fighting in rubber costumes,
this is not for
you.
Yeah,
no, it's not for you.
If you like bureaucratic nonsense, have I got a movie for you.
Japanese bureaucratic nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to rate this because it wasn't this. It didn't come out this year, so I'm not going to give it my rating because whatever it is, I'm going to be disappointed on it and just erase it. Because I really want this movie to be good, but
I'm going to give it two monkey aliens.
Two monkey aliens from the Mechagodzilla planet.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll give it 1.5. Moving on. Now John can actually contribute.
Come back, John.
There's some news that came out this week. One dropped basically Monday. Fox stocks were going way up for some reason, and it turns out Disney might be buying Fox Studios.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
Highlights, yeah. Star Wars could get the Fox fanfare again.
Yeah. And
Here's a question. Yep. Do they do that?
Oh, I would.
Yeah.
It's just not the same without the brruntun, brruntun, brruntun. Like, that whole sequence in the beginning, it's just... It's in the back of our, like, Star Wars fans' brains. Like, that's how the movie starts.
Yeah.
And then there's the period of silence, and then right into the score.
Right, and it always, technically for me, it always starts with the THX, sound. And then it's the Fox fanfare. Then it's, you know, a long time ago, Galaxy Far, Far Away. And then you smash it.
Yeah.
All right, would you take this as a trade-off? What if they do the Fox fanfare while you see the Disney castle? Do you make that trade?
I'd do that. Yeah. That seems kind of funny.
I would be laughing the whole time. But yeah, I'd take that without a doubt. When you wish on a star. The other exciting thing about this is, it's kind of the elephant in the room. If Disney buys Fox Studios, does that mean Marvel gets the Fantastic Four and X-Men? Because...
Yes, Sean, it means we can no longer debate over who actually owns Quicksilver.
Oh, yep. Thank God.
That ends. So is he dead or not?
That is, for me, huge. Deadpool goes over to the MCU... which is weird.
Shut, is that really worth, like, Hollywood becoming a monopoly? Disney just owning everything in Hollywood.
Yeah, but Doctor Strange shows up at the end of New Mutants.
Oh, man.
I heard you mutants are new.
Oh, man. Yeah, so...
So that to me is the trade-off, is like X-Men get to be in the Marvel movies. Yeah. Disney owns everything.
Yeah.
Huh. Do I want a cyberpunk dystopian future, but the X-Men are in the Marvel movie? Or am I fine with things as they are?
It's weird thinking that Fox might be part of Disney. That's just strange to me. ABC.
It is very weird.
ABC and Fox being like one and the same.
Well, hang on. Are they planning on buying just 20th Century Fox?
I think it's Fox Studios.
Or like...
So the movies.
It's everything but the TV stations, pretty much. Although I guess FX would be part of it. Hmm. But not...
Oh, because like, FX broadcast. Got the movies. So we all know that from the commercials.
Sure.
They remind us several times that FX got the movies. So, this is a story that we definitely have to keep following up on. Cause
so, like, after Fox, who's the next thing Disney's just going to buy?
Sony. No, that would never happen.
They buy a country after this, right?
They already have that private island in the Caribbean, unless one of the hurricanes destroyed it. Which is very possible. I don't know.
Like, they're just going to show up to Puerto Rico now and be like, listen, we know you have a bunch of problems. Just become Disney Presents Puerto Rico.
You're no longer Puerto Rico. You're now Neverland. Yeah. You have to take a pirate ship there.
You're Mickey's Tropical Paradise.
You're now Pluto Rico.
I don't know about you guys. Sam already said what his feelings are about it, but I'm kind of like on the fence right now because I'm like, Marvel basically all comes together now, but at the same time, Disney has complete control over everything, which is terrifying to really think about. What about you, John?
It's just crazy that Disney's like, yeah, this is a good move. Let's just keep buying up everything in the world. It's just crazy, man. I feel like it's not going to happen.
Mm.
But if it does, I mean, you know, maybe Hugh Jackman comes back and he's Ant-Man's best friend. I don't know.
Well, Hugh Jackman did say the only way he'll come back as Logan is if he's in an Avengers movie. So it
okay.
Another reason for Disney to buy it, but like at the same time, no.
I'm sure at Disney's board meeting, they're like, "How do we get Hugh Jackman to come back?"
Well, as one cinematic universe door opens, another sadly appears to be closing. As a report today, that the two, I don't know, do they have a term for this? Like, I guess if this was a TV show, you'd call them showrunners, but franchise runners for Universal's Dark Universe, commonly referred to on this podcast as the Uku.
I think that's worldwide, people call it that.
Yeah, it's the Uku. It's right. The Everybody Universal calls it Cinematic that. Universe, the Uku.
The Uku.
As all you know it as the Uku, have left the project. I guess they were already into pre-production for Bride of Frankenstein, which is supposed to have Angelina Jolie star, and that has been shut down, and she's no longer a part of it. This is a franchise, by the way, where they have pretty much casted everybody out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have Johnny Depp.
He's the Invisible Man.
I mean, obviously, Russell Crowe was in the last one, but yep. Javier Bardem, too. Like,
who is he?
Isn't he Frankenstein?
Is he? I don't know.
Who the fuck cares? It's not going to happen.
No, it's not happening anymore.
Tell you what, though, Bardem as Frankenstein is actually one that I was like, oh, sure, let's see that. But, yeah, crazy that they got a little out ahead of their skis on this one. Setting up a cinematic universe no one gave a shit about.
Also, like, not being like, yeah, we should make a good movie to start off.
Yeah. Not right. Like, hey, remember Dracula Untold? No. Well, we're going to base off a universe off of that. Really? No, never mind. We're not going to anymore. But you had the
money. Don't worry.
No, Tom Cruise, make a good movie.
Tom Cruise, here's a bunch of money. Make a movie. Okay. It was a third of a movie, as you said, Sam. So
yeah, they remembered to put film in the camera.
Props to them. Yeah. They had audio better than Boo.
Yeah, you know, that was better than Boo.
They did
a better job dubbing.
It's sad to see there won't be a steady supply of movies that, you know, will force one of us to go see and no one else will go see in the future.
Yeah.
It's truly sad.
Like, why are there 12 Madea movies, but we're only getting one of these? That's all I'm saying.
Probably because these movies cost like $200 million to make a giant sack of shit. Like, you know, I can give you that for just the price of a couple Subway subs. Am I right, fellas?
I don't get it.
All right. Well, anyway, what else we got for news?
So the last thing I wanted to touch upon for news is an article that came out recently. So Rotten Tomatoes has gotten into a lot of hot water, if you will, over their rating systems because, you know, bad reviews make people not want to go see movies, and the movie studios are mad at them.
I mean, like, that's just ridiculous, yeah. You know? Like, if they're bad, then people should see them.
Exactly. Like
that way we all experience the terribleness.
So, there's kind of this guy, yeah, it came out yesterday. He wrote an article, and it basically explains that Justice League, which comes out a week from Friday, which is crazy to think about. It's already upon us, and we have to go see it, unfortunately.
It's that time of year.
Anyways, so WB is only giving 1 day, 16 hours, and 10 minutes before the first premiere for critics to go see this movie. And
I mean, at least 10, they get that 10 minutes in there.
Right. So odd that it was...
You know that 10 minutes is just going to be them standing around the lobby being like, the hell?
It's so odd that it's that specific, but apparently that's what, you know, 1 day, 16 hours, and 10 minutes. So that's all Warner Brothers is giving critics to basically go see this movie and review it, which, you know, goes back to Rotten Tomatoes, where they take the critics' reviews and say, is it fresh or is it rotten? So just to give you an idea about that, so this is under 2 days. Other movies that gave less than 2 days notice for critics are movies like Transformers The Last Knight, The Emoji Movie, The Dark Tower, King Arthur, The Mummy, Valerian, Monster Trucks.
Hang on, was there a critic who wanted to go see Monster Trucks?
No, but Monster Trucks gave 1 day, 19 hours. So actually gave more time than Justice League.
They had to win over somebody.
So the common theme basically here is that all these movies that came out under 3 days before the premiere that allowed the people to go see it and rate it, they all suck.
Yeah.
Horrid. And there's, I think, Atomic Blonde is the only one this year under 3 days that actually got a fresh rating. Then, you know, the longer it is for... like War of the Planet of the Apes gave 17 days, 10 hours, and that was a fresh movie kind of thing. You know, Wonder Woman, same studio, Wonder Woman gave 13 days, 21 hours. So this movie's going to suck.
Are any of us surprised?
No, none of us are really surprised, unfortunately, but it's just kind of funny that...
Listen, I'm not going into this sitting there going, I'm going to see a good movie.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to be thoroughly entertained. I'm going in to hear Aquaman go, yay!
Oh, man.
That's what I'm going in for.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of grunting from Aquaman, and ugh. I will go home happy.
It's just, it's funny that, so studios like WB... they complain when, like, basically they're all blaming Rotten Tomatoes because that's pretty
clearly
much...
clearly, it's their fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's their fault for all these movies being shitty. But it's funny that they're, like, they're blaming them, but on a movie that turned out to be good, Wonder Woman, they gave almost 2 weeks for critics to go and see it. Whereas, you know... their next movie, literally their next movie in the series, they gave less than 2 days.
Are you saying there's something suspicious about
this? No, I'm not saying. Well, I'm not saying there's something suspicious. It's just,
I don't see what you're trying to get at. I mean,
it's just hilarious that WB would
do that. There's only a certain amount of days they can give. They wasted it all on Wonder Woman. They can't just add more days.
They're only allotted about 15 days.
Yeah, I mean,
every year. So
let's be real here. What are our... Because I don't want to talk about like this movie again before it comes out. So let's just get it out of the way now. What are your expectations for this movie? Like, I would be okay So I think I described Suicide Squad as like garbage, but that kind of garbage that sometimes like you get like a hint of like sweetness, and you're like, ooh, what's that? And you're like, oh fuck, it's still garbage.
Yeah.
If it could be like a little bit better than that, like have just, oh, this movie's gonna suck. There's no way around it. It's gonna be 5 hours long.
And the other part is half of it's gonna not match the other half, and we're gonna be able to tell because it's two completely different directors directing two halves of this movie.
Yeah,
like it's.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, I'm going into this to hear Aquaman go, yeah. But yeah. You know what else I'm also going into? To try and see if I could notice that Superman has a mustache.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm looking for that
CGI.
The shitty CGI,
upper lip. Yeah. Like, those are the two things I'm going in for. If I can get those, I'll walk away from this movie happy. Like, I'll be like, you know what? Never have to see that movie again. But every time Aquaman made some stupid grunt, I laughed my ass off.
Do you guys think, though, this will be better than Suicide Squad? Like, it's got to be better than Batman vs. Superman, right? Like, it can't possibly be worse than that.
That's the worst part.
See, that's the mystery about this movie, is not whether or not this movie's going to be good. It's how bad is it going to be. Like, is it going to be just...
By the way, the runtime is 2 hours, 1 minute. So this is a 2-hour movie.
So it's practically the length of Thor.
Yes.
So I'm sure this will be really good, too.
Yeah.
This is fucking the opening scenes, and they're, like, playing fucking Kashmir, and you're like, okay. Well.
Matt Damon randomly shows up.
Which, you know, not exactly implausible, given Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah.
He shows up as Robin. Oh, man, that'd be sick.
Oh, my God. If Matt Damon shows up as Robin, like, even in a flashback, I will give this, like, a point and a half higher than what I normally would have.
I'll give this movie a 10.
So, yeah.
If you do that, I will give you a 10.
Oh, my God.
Like, have Robin show up in the flashback. And the minute he steps on, I just hear Aquaman go, yeah, Robin!
Hey, guys, it's Robin! Yeah! Oh, man.
Woo!
My question is this going to be the last DC?
No.
Everything else... They'll make another Wonder Woman movie.
That's true. They will.
They're going to make their money on this. And
I think there'll be another Batman, for sure.
Not with Affleck, apparently.
So long as the thing makes money, they're going to keep cranking them out.
Basically, everything after this is still in pre-production. Nothing is really going forward.
Well, I thought the Aquaman movie is like slated for next year, isn't it?
Is it? It's one of those where maybe I was thinking Flash. I don't even know if they've done any photography on...
Isn't like Julianne Moore in that movie?
Julianne Moore.
I don't know. There's like some like actual like real people cast in that movie.
Yeah, Aquaman 2018 as of right now. Not really a date. Nicole Kidman's in it, Amber Heard, Dolph Lundgren, William Dafoe, Patrick Wilson. Damn. There's a lot. Timura Morrison, guy who plays Jango Fett. He's in it.
Great job.
Thank you. That's my Star Wars thing.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's basically it. But it's a good cast. And James Wan is directing it. Guy who did first Saw movie and The Conjuring and stuff like that.
So it's going to be a horror movie. Got it.
Yep. And he also did...
Fish! Oh, my God.
So, want to play a game? Go fish.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm beyond terrified of this movie. I know we have to go see it, sadly.
I'm beyond Thunderdome.
God.
It was there.
I would be surprised if this movie rocked the expectations of future DC movies, because all these movies made a shit ton of money. Am I wrong? Like, yeah. I think Batman vs. Superman, maybe did over $1 billion?
I think it did.
It made a shit ton of money somehow.
Suicide Squad did fine. Yep. Wonder Woman killed it. Yep. Wonder Woman, and I mean critically, obviously did well.
Right. It's their highest, DC's highest rated movie since The Dark Knight.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the one thing this movie has going for it is expectations pretty much could not be lower.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I really have not met a single person who was like, oh, I'm so excited for the Justice League movie. Like, at all, which is kind of funny. But hey, you know, maybe there are people out there who's super excited for the Justice League movie, where they're willing to go see it like 5 or 6 times like they did with Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman.
Who did that to themselves?
I don't know who inflicted that much pain, but apparently a lot of people.
All right. I got one last thing in the movie of news tonight.
Yep.
All right. They are discussing bringing a Lord of the Rings TV series to Amazon. Where do you guys, scale 1 to 10, 10 being totally, completely necessary, where do you guys put this on the necessary scale?
6.
On the necessary scale, yeah. 2.
I'm going 6, yeah. Because...
Oh, wait, hang on. Is this... Are they doing like what's it called? The Cerimerian?
Silmarillion?
Silmarillion? Is it like going to be like jumping into that? Or are we just straight up going to make Lord of the Rings again?
I don't... Okay, if it's making Lord of the Rings again, then I honestly give it a 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like, you just don't need to.
No.
Yeah. But yeah. If they're... I don't hate the concept of, like, you know, a series that's in the Lord of the Rings universe or something.
I'd be okay with that.
That's why I said a 6. So there's plenty of stories that can be told from the series. Kind of happy that they'd rather go down this route than go movie route, because we all saw what happened with The Hobbit with studio interference and greediness, where they took a book,
make it 9 movies, yeah,
made it into 3 really long movies where, yeah, it was. And I like The Hobbit. That's my issue. I really like the book, and I hated those movies. As a whole.
Really should have known that was going to suck as soon as they, like, axed Del Toro.
I don't think they didn't ax him. He stepped away from the project. Although he was the one who said it should be 2 movies, which, okay, 2 movies. That's fine.
Even that is like...
That's stretching it a bit, but once they were like, no, it's a trilogy, it's like, how are you going to do that? Like, what's the highlight? Like, where do you end off? Like,
just throw Legolas in it.
Oh, yeah, and they did that. It's not even in the normal... And Legolas in The Hobbit looked awful. Like, such a fake...
Orlando Bloom.
No, his wig was just so fake.
He fake looked weird. Elf.
Yeah. And then the GoPro shots were stupid. Anyways,
so
but yeah, if it's a continuation of the world, yes, I'm 100% down behind it. Is it necessary? Not really, but I'll accept it.
Well, Sean Astin from Stranger Things 2 weighed in on this, saying his suggestion was they should make it about the Mines of Moria and the dwarves in there, which I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Right. That's fine. Yeah. I'm fine. Like, once again, if it's expanding the world of Tolkien, I'm 100% down.
It is funny though, how like big picture, how like that's actually just so like unsurprising news that like Amazon's like, oh God, we need a Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well,
anyway,
I think that does it for us this week. You can find all of our podcasts on Podbean and on Stitcher. Send us a comment or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Chris will be back for the next time. So
when we resurrect him, because he's dead.
Yeah, he's our Superman. So
with the CGI.
Yeah, Chris isn't dead. Totally not dead.
No, totally not.
He's not dead.
Oh. Well, anyways, that does it for us this week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Adios.